All right, welcome back to the Buffalo Bread Podcast. JJ back with you and excited this week to break down the upcoming Monday night game against the Jaguars from Jacksonville, Florida. We are in week three and it is Sunday, September 22nd. So let's talk about what this Bills team needs to do to fell the Jaguars, who've been a kind of a bugaboo, Dan. Haven't you noticed that?
Yeah, man. Deion Dawkins made a pretty funny joke in the pregame press conferences for this, being like, man, I don't know if it's their uniforms. I don't know what it is, but the Jags are always just a weird one for the Bills. Last year, you could chalk it up to the way the Bills managed the travel schedule for the London game for sure. But also, we don't want to discredit their former defensive coordinator, Mike Caldwell, with the defensive game plan that he had going against the Bills. This year, it's a mostly new coaching staff. Caldwell, I don't believe, is with the team anymore. Doug Peterson feels like he is coaching for his job this season, and the Jaguars have responded by laying an 0-2 egg to start the year. But JJ, it is not the defense that is the issue in Jacksonville. It appears to be the offense, with one very, very interesting exception. That offense is struggling by most metrics to produce anything meaningful, including points on the board, save for one facet of their game, and that's the deep ball. So, of course, I went to formerly departed beloved Bill Gabe Davis to see, like, what is he doing differently this season that might be helping Trevor Lawrence? And it turns out not much. He has a catch rate right around 50%, and it's just one of those weird, fluky stats that you get in week two. So I am expecting, JJ, a much more well-rounded game plan with the extra day that the Jags have to prepare for the Bills, and I believe they're going to try to attack at all levels because they have a QB that is capable of doing so. So I'm excited to dig into it, man. Which side of the ball do you want to start on?
Yeah, I mean, why don't we start with that? You kind of brought up the Jaguars offense against this Bills defense. Let's go that in that direction, and I agree with you. It's a weird thing where, you know, in a league, and a lot of talk has happened this week about what's going on with the NFL, because teams are not necessarily ranking up the, you know, 300 yard passing days and the, you know, long passing production, lots of scoring that the NFL has really been trying to fine tune towards for years because it's so much more fun to watch. The NFL hasn't really been achieving those sort of big high shootout games, except for the New Orleans Saints. But these Jaguars are one of the few teams that has, as you mentioned, has been having some success in those long deep shots, which is exactly the kind of thing that the Buffalo Bills defense has been fine-tuned to never allow over the course of Sean McDermott's entire tenure in the organization. So that's an interesting kind of unending, you know, momentum versus immovable object type matchup. And I'm excited to see it. I think that what we know from the Bills is that they're still not going to have, of course, Matt Milano's on IR until probably December, but they're not going to have Terrell Bernard or Taron Johnson for this one, which, you know, prior to last week, I would have said this is a crippling blow for the defense. There's no way they can pull this out. And then they went out on Thursday night without Terrell Bernard after the first quarter and, you know, without Taron Johnson from the previous week and held their own and dominated in a lot of regards a high-powered offense in the Miami Dolphins. I think that this Jacksonville Jaguars offense comparatively is a little bit better in the offensive line than the Dolphins, a little bit worse in the passing game talent, and probably a wash in the running game, because I think that, you know, their line is definitely not proving out to be an excellent running team, but Travis Etienne is a very outstanding talent in that position. And I think their wide receiver core with Christian Kirk, Gabe Davis, and Brian Thomas Jr. Has a lot of talent as well. I think that Bills fans, you know, some people will roll their eyes at Gabe Davis, and I think that's accurate. He's a good third wide receiver in this league. I think that's his level.
Yeah, JJ, the run game is, I think, a great place to start with for a couple of reasons. One, I agree with you. Travis Etienne, well, not the threat to catch the ball out of the backfield that Devon Achane was last week, I do think is going to provide some interesting issues here for the Buffalo Bills defense. One thing that I think has remained consistent with the Bills between the Cardinals game and the Dolphins game, and it's a limited sample size, they are giving up yards and they are giving up touchdowns to opposing teams' running backs. And ETN, while not necessarily the home run hitter we thought he was going to be when he got drafted out of Clemson into the league, he has proven to be a high volume, high touch back for Jacksonville. His yards per carry, not great. He is also getting hit behind the line of scrimmage quicker than all but five other running backs in the league right now. So it's not like he has a whole lot of room to operate with this offensive line and so many new pieces still coming together and gelling. But it doesn't stop them from feeding him. What is interesting, JJ, is the amount of his snap share that's been taken by Tank Bigsby, who finds himself questionable for this game and limited via the injury report and practices throughout the week. When I in the lead up to a lot of games that the Bills play, I'll read a lot of opposing journalists and sports media guys' takes that cover that team specifically. And there seems to be a lot of love for Tank Bigsby in Jacksonville. The only issue seems to be that ETN is so ingrained as like their Hoover vacuum touch drawing guy, is that they're having a hard time figuring out Bigsby and where they can integrate him in. And I think, JJ, that is kind of what I look at when I look at the Jacksonville Jaguars on film, is that they're a team that has a lot of pieces that when you look at it individually, should be performing better than they are. The issue seems to be cohesion, which you could chalk up to coaching and Doug Peterson. It doesn't seem like the offensive scheme right now is necessarily cohesive, and it doesn't seem like they've done a good job integrating a lot of these new parts other than at the most rudimentary level. So this is where I'm concerned. Listen, Doug Peterson, I said the Jacksonville Jaguars were probably going to be a dumpster fire this year, and I'm hoping I'm right. But 0-3 for this team, given the talent they've assembled on the roster, feels like a stretch. So mostly vibes, but if there were a game where the offense were to get it together, forget what we saw in that Miami game. That was a short week for Miami. Their depth was really tested. It's a familiar opponent for us. Jacksonville seems to be the ideal trap game for the Bills, a team with a little bit of extra time to prepare for a defense in Buffalo that we cannot ignore how depleted they are. And with Johnson and Bernard out for another game, this feels like another game where running backs will be featured. The Bills will stubbornly stay in their two high sets or their nickel packages to alleviate the deep ball. But I think the Jaguars are going to take shots downfield. I think this is a game, JJ, that the Jaguars are going to look to play in the absolute extremes of the field. They're going to look to pound in short yardage areas where they can, and then they're going to look to extend the field. I mean, they're missing Evan Engram, who's one of their great over-the-middle weapons for this game. So I really do feel like this Jacksonville offense, pound the rock in short yardage, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, and then they're going to bomb. And I think eventually that's going to become a lot for a depleted Buffalo Bills defense to overcome.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think that I would warn Bills Mafia to not presume that because this team was able to shut down an offense like the Dolphins, that shutting down an offense like the Jaguars is going to be a given, because the Jaguars haven't scored more than 17 points in either of their two contests this year, this season. But they have a player, you know, at quarterback in Trevor Lawrence, who is not the type of, you know, Kyler Murray, Tua Tagovailoa, those aren't quarterbacks that you necessarily have to guard the whole field. I think that Trevor Lawrence is more like a Josh Allen, and maybe part of the reason the Jaguars have seen such a difficult puzzle to solve for the Bills, even though it's not like been high scoring affairs, you know, slowing them down and keeping that, you know, they tend to stay on the field. They tend to kind of march the field, and then the Bills have shut them down in previous contests in the red zone. But ever since Trevor Lawrence has entered the league, I think the Bills have lost against him every time. So it's a matter of in weird games, as you mentioned when we opened about Deion Dawkins' comments. Ed Oliver was also in front of the podium talking about how weird the matchups have been. it's the type of thing where the Bills shut down portions of the field by scheme because they've been facing quarterbacks and do face quarterbacks, especially in the division with Miami, the Patriots with Zach Jones previously, or Zach Wilson, the Jets with Zach Wilson, the Patriots with Mac Jones. I got that all bungled. But you know, they faced quarterbacks without huge arm talent. Trevor Lawrence has a huge arm talent for the Jaguars. So they can't necessarily take away his first read, cinch down on routes requiring a very, very, you know, accurate tight window throw and know that the ball's not going to end up going there because of the proximity of coverage. These Bills defenders will absolutely need, you know, to be stuck to their man like Velcro if they want to stop him from throwing to options, because he will throw some kind of Josh Allen risky balls into tight coverage, and he will hit over the top of where you think a quarterback shouldn't be able to hit. So those are the big, I think those are the big risks I see for this, you know, this Bills defense against the Jaguars. And I do think that, you know, as you mentioned, the injuries might come to bite them this week. I think it's really going to come down to whether or not, you know, Greg Rousseau, Daquan Jones, Ed Oliver, AJ Epineza / Von Miller as the starting four are going to be able to affect the quarterback, specifically up the middle, because the Jacksonville Jaguars have kind of decent, they have a good left tackle in Cam Robinson. Their left guard is solid in Ezra Cleveland, but then we know Mitch Morse. We know he's a little bit undersized and athletic. Brandon Scherff, I think, he played the majority of his career with the Washington Commanders, probably has passed the kind of nadir of his career and is on the downslope. And Anton Harrison, their right tackle, has at times looked like a complete mess. So I think this is a game that, you know, Von Miller, AJ Epineza, let's see what you got, because that's going to be the secret for the Bills defense. Because I do think that the linebackers might be picked on a little bit. I'm just not as scared as I have been about other offenses, because the Jaguars don't seem to have a good identity, and it's always changing.
Absolutely. And I think part of the problems with establishing their identity has been that offensive line that you mentioned. Unlike Arizona, who we previewed earlier in the season, there's some names on that offensive line that are familiar, that have some decent resumes or at least athletic profiles in this league. JJ hasn't borne fruit. I mentioned Travis Etienne being contacted behind the line of scrimmage so frequently. Trevor Lawrence has the highest sack rate in the league, and it's not because he's holding on to the ball at a Justin Fields-esque clip. He's getting rid of it in 2.7, 2.8 seconds, which tells me two things. His guys are not getting a lot of separation, which, shocker, Gabe Davis is on this team, not a big separation guy. But two, he's also under duress on a high amount of his dropbacks, which has led to his 51% completion rate. I think if the Buffalo Bills defensive line fails to get push and fails to penetrate into the backfield, it actually could be a long day for them. The Jacksonville Jaguars have been waiting for a game to allow Trevor Lawrence some time to see routes develop, throw some guys open, and he just hasn't had it through the first two games. The Bills do not want to be a get right game for this Jacksonville offensive line. They want to keep the pressure coming, and they want to continue to sack Lawrence, who's already been sacked 7 times this season across 2 games.
Absolutely. And I think, as I mentioned, that's sort of the first place I'd say is a key for the Bills, is to really help their coverage units with shutting down this passing game, because with that preference for the Jaguars to kind of hit those deep hole shots, and the Bills kind of still working through developing a new safety tandem in the back end, and how they play together in Damar Hamlin and Taylor Rapp, I think it's really about, you know, hey, offensive pass rush, you know, organic four-man offensive pass rush or simulated four-man offensive pass rush with an end dropping into coverage or a tackle dropping into the middle hook zone. And somebody else coming from the edge, you got to get it done, because the routes they want to hit are 2+ second developing routes. And I think that's the one thing that has been such a criticism of Trevor Lawrence, not just this season, but has in, you know, most of his career, is that he tends to leave clean pockets too early. He tends to sometimes run into sacks, and he tends to sometimes, you know, put the ball in the dirt when he's rushed and kind of scrambling. So I think those are all things that the Bills defense can really feast on. But I agree that it's going to be the kind of thing that's going to test the Bills over the top. Yeah, I think that that's all I have about the Jacksonville Jaguars offense. I think they're going to try some screen game stuff. They're going to try to hit the Bills in the linebackers. I think it's a huge benefit to the Bills that the Jaguars' top tight end target, Evan Engram, is out. He had a decent game against the Bills in London last year, but he's not going to be out there. So, you know, next man up for them in Brenton Strange, who's looked solid. So I think that they're probably going to try to manipulate that for the second level and hit some of those shots, as well as I mentioned, the screen game and then over the top.
Yep, absolutely, JJ. I think that's a good point to transition over to the other side of the ball here. And let's talk about what JA17 and this Buffalo Bills offense is going to do against this Jacksonville defense. JJ, Jacksonville's defense has been stout when it comes to points allowed this season. They did a great job against Miami in week one, though we saw what Miami was in week two on Thursday night. I do think it begs the question, is Miami's offense just not deep enough, right? And that's only a question we're going to get answered as the season goes on, to produce the way they produced last season. And then they played, what was it, Cleveland, I think? Yep, Cleveland in week two. And Deshaun Watson looked great in the first half of that game and then looked like Deshaun Watson and terrible in the second half of that game. So the Jacksonville Jaguars defense, JJ, is a solid unit. And stats over 2 weeks don't necessarily tell the full story of this group because, again, there's names on the roster. They've got a very good pass rush, a strong defensive line. They have been middle of the road in pressure rates, middle of the road against the run. But this is a team, again, that seems to find a different gear and level of success when they play the Bills. And to me, JJ, that's going to start in the pass game. Now, the Bills are going to want to run the ball. Everybody knows that Brady is going to want to try to run the ball on this Jacksonville defense. And again, they have been middle of the road there. But the Jaguars secondary is going to present some opportunities for the Bills in man coverage to get some shots downfield. And the Jags play man coverage, JJ, at a 52.4% clip, which is one of the highest in the league. And their two outside corners, Tyson Campbell and Monteric Brown, they play press man at rates at 62 and 54% respectively. My mind, JJ, immediately goes to, what are we going to see out of Keon Coleman here? Because the book on Coleman is that he kind of disappears against press man, at least he did in college. And the Bills, I think rightfully so, have given him a large chunk of the snap share to allow him to get his legs underneath him in the pro game. This is going to be such an interesting test for Coleman, JJ, because it is literally a scheme and personnel that is built to exploit his greatest weakness, at least his greatest weaknesses, according to his draft report, coming out of college. For me, JJ, I think the Bills will have success running the ball, but this game is all about taking their shots in the pass game too, and I think it's going to be interesting to see how these pieces and parts match up for that. So where do you want to start? You want to start with the pass catchers, or do you want to start with the run game as far as keys to the game for this Bills offense?
I think we should start with the run game. I think, you know, it's no surprise to the listeners that JJ wants to start with the trenches. I think that, you know, for this Jacksonville Jaguars defense, what we should be paying attention to is those defensive tackles, Devon Hamilton and Eric Armstead. Eric Armstead can have some play out at defensive end. Are there front two kind of players, and then they have Jeremiah Ledbetter and Roy Robertson-Harris coming in behind. It's a non-remarkable defensive tackle group. I think that their defensive end, Josh Hines-Allen, who, by the way, you know, changed his name because our Josh Allen was better and he was getting no publicity at all as Josh Allen, the defensive end. So Josh Hines-Allen and Trayvon Walker, a first pick from a couple of years ago, they're good. They're very good. I think that there's a lot of danger there for the Bills. It's going to be a true test of Deion Dawkins and Spencer Brown, now both making, you know, top 15 tackle in money in the league to shut down this pass rush or neutralize those guys in the run game. But I think that there's, you know, the defensive tackle limitation for the Jaguars is that they have guys that are just sort of boulders in the run game, but they're not penetrating style defensive tackles. So I think that setting the depth of the pocket is going to be easier for the Bills' interior offensive line than it may have been in previous, you know, matchups. But with Christian Wilkins leaving the Dolphins, I don't think that they've been truly tested so far this year. So it's going to be an interesting matchup. I think that there's opportunities, especially because Trayvon Walker and Josh Hines-Allen can over pursue. So if there's a week for the Bills to do some kind of tunnel screens, mid screens, different things that are taking advantage of a fast charging defensive end, I think this is a great, great week for it. Additionally, I think that one thing that I think is worth noting about this base 4-3 defense for the Jaguars is that they are missing their top corner, Tyson Campbell. He's on IR for this week. And so they're playing Monteric Brown and Ronald Darby, who the Bills, you know, was a former second round pick of the Bills. But I would say is, you know, has had a good career, but it is late in his career and probably has lost a step as the top outside corners. And then their nickelback is Jerrion Jones, who has looked promising, but is also very young. So there's definitely opportunities in coverage. Their safety pair is Andre Sisco out of Syracuse. I know many of our listeners probably have an affinity towards Syracuse. He's been a great kind of talent in the league since he entered. He's about 6 feet, 210, which are like your standard traditional safety. And then Antonio Johnson, who's sort of long and lean. He came out of Texas A&M last season and has been solid, but I would say not spectacular. So Andre Sisco is really the talent back there. They have Darnell Savage, who they picked up in free agency from Green Bay, but he's been questionable all week and got dinged up last week. So Tashawn Gibson Sr. is on their team, but he's suspended right now. They have Andrew Wingard, who's on IR. So like they're a little bit banged up in a couple of different layers in the defense.
Absolutely. And with some of these mix and match depth pieces that they've got going in the secondary for themselves, I think this is a great opportunity, JJ, to exploit the play-action game. Josh Allen, great play-action QB. Play-action has been featured so heavily in this Joe Brady-led scheme. And this is an area where, through two games consistently, the Jaguars have really struggled against opposing units. The Buffalo Bills, JJ, are number one in passing efficiency out of play-action through 2 weeks. And the Jacksonville Jaguars are number 24 in defending play action passes. I think especially with Campbell out, there's going to be some opportunities for the Bills to exploit. You know, an interesting area where the Jacksonville Jaguars have shown a lot of strength is defending opposing teams' tight ends. Currently, by DVOA, they're a top 10 unit, number 9 specifically, in shutting down opposing teams' tight ends. Now, again, they've played the Browns. And they have played the Dolphins that because of the injuries to who's the tight end for Cleveland? Njoku? Yeah. Because of the injuries there and because of the lack of any meaningful tight end talent in Miami, I do not consider Jonnu Smith a great tight end talent. A lot of that could be just, you know, stat sort of skewing because it's a small sample size against two really bad teams. So if I'm the Bills, I'm not letting that deter me from featuring Dalton Kincaid, especially with his ability to get space against man coverage and exploit the seam. So I want to see a lot of play action, dude. I want to see James Cook get his touches out of the backfield in the passing game as well. And I really want to see a heavy dose of Dalton Kincaid, which will hopefully open things up for the Bills a little bit downfield. And JJ, as we are 2 games into the season, and there is a lot to be surprised and excited about this Buffalo Bills squad. We still have not seen a team that is going to, that has tested them and their ability to really push the ball downfield in the passing game. I don't know if the Jaguars are going to be that opponent this week, but it still remains to me an unanswered question is how effective is this Brady scheme when teams decide to load up the box and shut down the run? How effective it can be and how effective these skill position players can be on the Bills. and exploiting the middle to intermediate and deep parts of the field in the pass game. I'd like to see some of those concerns on my part quelled this game, but I do think just because of the way this Jacksonville defense is stacking up from a profile standpoint, I think we're going to see a heavy dose of James Cook in the run game, heavy dose of James Cook in the pass catching game, play action, and then feature of Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah, I think that what we haven't seen, I mean, the season is so you know, new still with only 2 weeks in the books for the Bills. But what we haven't seen yet is a game where the Buffalo Bills have to answer the question of, you know, finding a new way to win with their pass only, right? Like every single week, even in a comeback win against the Cardinals week one, who in week two showed a lot more, you know, juice. So whether it was an outlier or they're a much better team is still kind of set to be answered. But the Bills haven't had to answer the question of how do you win without James Cook getting 7 or 8 yards per touch. They've been incredibly efficient on skipping third down altogether, but they've been pretty poor on third down when they've had to convert them. The Bills offense has across 2 weeks. So it's really for them, their ball control moving down the field has been on first and second down, and then they've been sort of stalled if a team can get them to third. I think that the Jaguars have the kind of defense that, you know, as you mentioned, are excellent defending the tight end, the middle of the field. And I think that's because their linebackers, Foye Oluokun and Devin Lloyd has looked outstanding this year. I think that you can pour a lot of dirt on the Jaguars for their performance, but you can't necessarily pour any dirt on either of the linebackers. Foye Oluokun or Devin Lloyd have looked awesome. Chad Muma is their kind of third linebacker that'll come in situationally. He's familiar with Josh Allen, having played together at Wyoming, I think for one season. Yeah, so it's the kind of thing where, like, they have some skilled players, and they have kind of the alternative to what the Bills have, which is all of their linebackers are healthy right now, so they get to pick from their best talents, and they have some talent there. So I don't expect the Bills to be able to manipulate or hurt them in that middle range. It's really, I think, going to be closer to the line of scrimmage, and then over the top, behind the corners, in front of the safeties is where the Bills are probably going to make their most hay, but we'll see. I think that, you know, the Cleveland Browns, even with, you know, Watson at quarterback looking like Deshaun Watson has looked, which is inconsistent and pretty awful at times, they were able to get like 6 or 7 people touches and over 50 yards in that game against the Jaguars, as low scoring as it was. So there's definitely opportunities. I think that, you know, the weakness of this defensive team is probably at the tackle position. And then also it's in the corners. Those are the two places I would attack, is if you're going to run the ball, establish the run, go up the gut. And then if you're going to go over the top, you could probably make some hay against these corners.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I think that is as efficient a breakdown, JJ, we can give on this game. Because again, so many of the Jags-Bills games that they have played in recent memory have had nothing to do with the matchup on paper and everything to do with game script and some of the weirdness of the game script that they've encountered. The London factor last season, whatever the hell happened in Jacksonville a couple of years ago when the Jags were still under Urban Meyer. Like, there have just been a lot of odd game scripts between these two teams where the matchup on paper never really seemed to come to fruition on the field. So I am ready, my friend, if you are, to move on to some predictions sure to go wrong to wrap this thing up. Are you ready to land this plane, my friend?
Zoom, zoom. Yeah. I mean, just to kind of recap for everybody, the last three times these teams met, the Bills lost to the Jaguars 10-3 in the first season of Coach McDermott being at the helm, where the Tyrod Taylor brought them to break the drought. They got a wild card matchup against the Jaguars and lose in a completely inept offensive outing in Jacksonville, 10-3. Then they met in London last year. Oh, did they meet one more time? Oh, yeah, before
the
London.
Urban Meyer year.
Yeah, Urban Meyer year. Didn't Urban Meyer go 1-16 and the Bills were the only team he beat?
He went 2, I want to say he went like 2-11.
Okay.
And they canned him.
Then they canned him. So one of his two wins as an NFL coach were against these Buffalo Bills when they went to Jacksonville. Again, they traveled to Jacksonville and lost that game. 9-6, which was absolutely abysmal. And that was a game that Josh Allen, our Josh Allen, played in, and so did their Josh Allen before he changed his name. And that was the Josh Allen intercepts Josh Allen game.
Yes.
And so
their Josh Allen played very well in that game.
He destroyed the Bills, and it was a it was one of the hardest games to watch, I think, as a Bills fan, when you know what Josh Allen J17 is capable of, because the offense could literally get nothing done that day. And then, of course, last year, 25-20 in LA, or LA, in London, both start with an L, and the Bills got an L. And so it was the kind of thing where after the first two drives, the Bills were out Matt Milano and Daquan Jones. The entire center of their defense was gutted. Greg Rousseau didn't even suit up for that game because he was injured. And so, again, it was the kind of thing where the Bills defense couldn't seem to stop them. The Bills offense just couldn't seem to connect. There was a number of timely drops in that game. That was another game that I think they were trying to force feed Stephon Diggs, and it wasn't going well.
Yeah. And that will not be an issue this game. But, I mean, between these two teams, you have done a great job running through the recent history. If you are a gambler as myself, the under feels like a good play. And then the over-under here is at 45.5 points. And then the spread on this game, JJ, the Bills have not covered the spread in the last two games. They've been favored against the Jags. And the spread here opened at 5, and it's pretty much stayed consistent at 5. It's gone up to 5.5. Back down to 5. This is a relatively stable line throughout the course of the week as folks have started to put money on this game. So I think there's a couple of factors going into that. One, recent history. Two, again, you look at the Jaguars on paper, it is hard to imagine how and why they would start 0-3 at this particular point. And I think there is still some doubt in the betting market that what we've seen from the Bills over the first 2 weeks is real. They've played two bad defenses. Arizona's a bad defense, and I think Miami, with all the turnover they had on their roster, is also shaping up to look like a pretty bad defensive unit this season. So folks want to see what they do against a defensive unit that's got a few more names on the roster and a little bit more health to its name. So it'll be very interesting to see. JJ, you want to start with final score?
Sure, yeah. I think that, you know, the Buffalo Bills are going to eclipse 30 again. I think that their goal for this week, there's two things that I think you should really think about if you're a Bills fan about this game coming up on Monday. One is that the Bills are coming off of extra rest, and that is a pretty significant advantage. It's 4 days extra rest. They almost get a full week, you know, of more time to prepare for this game. So that always helps in the NFL when the margins are so thin, having just a few extra days. So that's one. And then two is the desire of this Bills team to, for those who were with the team the last 3 or 4 years, to make a point that the Jaguars aren't special. And so I think that throughout the media availability, even with, you know, Sean McDermott, his media availability, you know, classic coach speak, he didn't say much, said almost nothing at all. But he did kind of, he's like, they're a good football team, we got to take them seriously. I think that his notes and the tones of the players is that they're all business this week of proving that the Jacksonville Jaguars aren't the kryptonite for the Buffalo Bills, as they've appeared to be in multiple meetings, and really getting this job done. So I think they're going to come out with a workmanlike attitude and try to just do their job, right? And get this one in the books as a W. I think the Bills are going to eclipse 30 for a third straight week. And I think that it's going to be a 31-17 game Bills at home under the lights with a very sauced up Bills Mafia.
You are tempting the fates, my friend. I'm now.
It's going to be a 6-3 punt and punt fest, right?
All right. So JJ, I'm going to depart from you a little bit on this. I think Vegas has this reasonably right. I think it's too early in the season to make any bold declarations about either team. And we know that the first quarter of the season, the way preseason has played out over the past few years, teams are really just figuring stuff out. It would not surprise me if the Jags came in and stole one here, because they really need to if they want to keep their postseason hopes alive. Add to the fact that it's been a weird schedule to start the season for the Bills here, with a traditional Sunday at 1, then the Thursday game, now this long break. And the Bills, JJ, they've looked rusty coming off of long breaks, be it this Thursday to Sunday, Thursday to Monday swing that they're on now, or coming off of bye weeks. The Bills should win this game, but an L would not surprise me. I am going to take both the under on points, and I'm going to say the Bills don't cover again for the second straight week. I am going to say Bills 24, Jaguars 20.
That would be, somewhat symbolic, the Bills winning, having lost to the Jaguars in London 25-20. I think that it's notable that the Bills have not seen these Jaguars under, this coach or with Trevor Lawrence in Buffalo. And so I think the Bills Mafia, if the Bills are able to pull this one out, as both Dan and I have predicted, it's all you, my friends. You did it. And so I think that that's a component that we need to consider.
Absolutely. JJ, for prop bets, I've got just one prop bet this week for the game. And it is around Josh Allen and his rushing ability. So we know his left hand is hurt. We know that he was featured heavily in the QB rush game against Arizona, not so much against Miami because they didn't need him. I have had a lot of my Bills Mafia and non-Bills Mafia friends tell me that they feel like this needs to be a Josh Allen takeover type of game if in prime time, if the Bills are to win. Here's the thing, though, man. The Jags are number 7 in shutting down unscripted QB scrambles in the league this year per NFL Next Gen stats. They do a pretty good job of bottling up opposing QBs. Again, and this is a consistent metric from season to season with them. Again, Tua, not the most athletic QB, got him in week 1. Deshaun Watson was able to use his legs in the red zone against Jacksonville, where this is a team defense that really struggles. But for the most part, unscripted scrambles, the Jags have done a really good job shutting those down. It's going to be an interesting strength-on-strength matchup here, JJ. So I've got the over-under Josh Allen rushing yards at 27.5 for this game.
So I'm going to smash the over. And it's not because I think anything you said is incorrect. I think that absolutely their linebacker core, as I mentioned, is one of their bright spots on their whole defense. Probably their best unit overall, the best layer of the defense if you go from front to back for first, third, second, and then deep third. So that linebacker unit, especially if they're using a spy, especially if they have if they have Andre Sisco coming down into the box to try to shorten up the run, he can definitely float to find Josh Allen on a scramble. So if all of that is true, I think that they're absolutely able to minimize the damage. And we haven't mentioned it to this point, the Jaguars are the top man coverage team in the whole NFL after 2 weeks. They tend to dial up man coverage more often than any other team in the league, which is an aberration and especially has been a problematic determination for any team to do against Josh Allen. Since he entered the league, he tends to just completely destroy man coverage teams. So we'll see how they go into this game to defend the Bills. But I would agree with you that those linebackers will definitely be able to minimize the damage of his legs on scrambles. The reason I'm picking over, though, of that number 27 is because I think that there's going to be some design runs for Josh Allen in this game. I think there are some mismatch opportunities in numbers if you're able to do like student body left, student body right, those big power QB sweeps will be effective against this team, because I do not believe that their corners are very good in run support, and so they tend to get washed out, and that makes the edges kind of soft. And so I can see the Bills using the number advantage. If you're running your quarterback, and you don't have to use your running back, that's an extra tight end, that's an extra jumbo lineman to get in the game and provide that kind of box count beater. So I think he'll go over. I don't think he will be super effective on the scrambles because of those linebackers, but I do think he's going to get well over 27 yards.
I'm going to go under, and I want to see the same game plan they had for him against Miami while that left hand is still hurt. A couple of, to your point, scripted designed runs in the very beginning, just because we know Josh like a prize fighter. He's got to take a hit. He's got to get smashed in the jaw every now and then to really wake him up and get him going in the game. So I could see Brady scripting a couple of those things in early And then after that, letting the traditional running back game do its thing against the squad and let JA17 eat in the pass game. So I'm going to say under, because like, dude, how with that left hand being the way it is, how much do we really think the Bills want to intentionally run him this early in the season until that left hand heals up, right? They don't want, I feel like it's more of a injury management, risk management proposition this week with Josh, just because it is only week three. There are 15 weeks and 14 games left for the Bills after this. And until they hit their bye, this is their last really weird kind of like long extended week. So until they hit their bye in week, I think it's week 12 is when they're bye.
Yeah, it is.
Yep. Yeah. Until they hit their bye, they're now in a normal schedule and they're already banged up at a lot of key positions. Most prominently with Josh in that left hand. So I just hope the Bills don't do it.
I understand.
And that's why I'm taking the under. That's really what it is. It's all vibes on this one. I just hope they don't run him. Yeah. And I hope he chooses to pass the ball and not run, but we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, that leads me right into my prop for this game is passing the ball. It's a multiple choice question for you, Dan. So it's not necessarily something you could bet, you know, betting lines might not be it, but it is an interesting proposition. Of these options, which Buffalo Bills pass catcher do you believe gets the most targets in this game?
Dalton Kincaid.
is that your answer? No, that's one of the options. Yeah.
It should be Dalton Kincaid.
Okay. Yeah.
It should be Kincaid or Shakir. And again, nothing against anyone else that is here. I've seen a lot of Bills Mafia Twitter, and Bills Mafia Threads, by the way, is becoming a space as well. But I've seen a lot of Bills Mafia being like, when are we going to get the Curtis Samuel game? When are we going to see like our Debo Samuel packages for Curtis Samuel? And I think there's two things preventing that. One, we probably don't realize that he is still healing from that toe injury he got in the preseason. So I think the Bills are managing his reps, kind of have him on a pitch count, and they have a plan for him once he is fully healthy later on in the season. So I don't think this is a Curtis Samuel game. The aforementioned Keon Coleman against press man coverage in college was not great. And we know the Jags, regardless of the Tyson Campbell injury, are going to play man and they're going to press. So I think this is a rough game for the Rook this time around, with the exception of like maybe one or two spectacular catches downfield. So that leaves you Mac Hollins, who the Bills really have fallen in love with his blocking ability, as a pass catcher. And I would put forth, JJ, that if Mac Hollins is your top target in this game, something has gone horribly wrong. So by process of elimination, that brings me to Dalton Kincaid, who they did a great job scripting early touches for him against Miami, and Khalil Shakir. And I go Kincaid. Because I feel like while this linebacker unit in the safety room could be a uniquely tough matchup for Kincaid, I don't feel like because of the amount of man that they play in Jacksonville, they're going to bracket Kincaid like the Dolphins and like the Cardinals have. Like Kincaid, for anyone who is worried about a stat line, if you watch the film, he is getting wide receiver one treatment from a lot of opposing defenses. I don't think the Jaguars do that because I don't think that's in their scheme set. I think he's going to get some great one-on-one opportunities. And again, he's a matchup problem, even for the best linebackers and safeties in this league. So I go Kincaid by process of elimination.
Sure. Absolutely. No, that was, of course, one of the options. The options were Kincaid, Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, and Curtis Samuel. So I don't think we're ever going to see a game like you mentioned, where Mac Hollins is the top targeted pass catcher, just because of the nature of what his job is on this team. So, yeah, I think that, you know, I'm actually going to depart a little bit. I think it's going to be Khalil Shakir, because I think that with decent safeties and linebackers, their weakness is at corner right now. I think that they can do enough to try to limit Kincaid. And really, if Josh Allen's reading it right, I think Khalil Shakir is a better man beater in the offensive pass catching unit. I think he's going to be the most separation player. If we look at next gen stats after this game, he'll probably have more separation on routes run than anybody else. Because I agree with you. I think Curtis Samuel's still kind of coming back. He's not playing fully healthy. And the Jacksonville Jaguars are a little bit weak and vulnerable at the edges of the defense. And then my last prop for you, sir, is Dwayne Smoot revenge game, question mark. Dwayne Smoot plus or minus half a sack.
Minus. Only because he's just coming off the injury, the injury report. Excited to get him back, though, because of his versatility of both inside and outside. And I think the Bills really do need that depth, particularly on the inside in this game. But I think he's a great chess piece on that line to move around. We did see Dwayne Carter's snap share against Miami go way, way up from what it did in the first game against Arizona. But they're still working out some stuff with the rook there. So I think Smoot gives them a security blanket to flip inside next to Rousseau or Epineser or Miller, should they choose to. So I'm still going to say under, just because that's a lot to ask for a guy coming off the injury report.
Fair. You know, we like to focus on these interesting relationships with the rosters, and that's one of them, having played his entire career at Jacksonville prior to this, prior to being signed by the Bills.
So what do you got over or under?
I'm going to say over, because that's why, you know, I brought the prop to the table. I think it's going to happen. I think we're going to see him. I think that I do agree with you that he, you know, coming off the injury is a factor of this, but I think that he was probably pretty close. I think he actually was practicing limited last week. So I think he might've been pretty close to coming and playing for Miami, which gives him an extra 11 days to heal up. And so I think he might be ready physically for this one. Because I know he'll probably be juiced up emotionally in the same way that Mitch Morse, Gabe Davis, you know, they'll be feeling it as well, because it's always, you know, I think Von Miller even said it, it's always good to beat your old team.
Yep, JJ, the familiar faces and new places tour continues here against Jacksonville for sure. JJ, as always, great to pod with you. For all of you listening at home, like, share, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Google, Apple, and Spotify. And as always, go Bills.
Go Bills.